Blog Talk Radio.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest times. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes, you have.
Think about the goodness of the Lord. I'm always reminding that He is so faithful. Doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in, God is in it with you. Now, everybody may not believe that, but God is in it with you. But you got to continue believing that. You got to continue to believe that it's true. Psalms 23:6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. It's following you. I don't see it following me, preacher. It's following you. Goodness and mercy. So that's something to shout about. Know that you look to your right, goodness is there. Look to your left, mercy is there. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're happy to have each and every one of you all. It's Wednesday. Wow. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson for today.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. Yes. It's good that I can share. It's coming from Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Father God, for another day. Thanking you, Father God, that we can come together and learn of your word, Father God, with regards to you, Father God. We're thankful for our pastor, Father God. Ask that you will continue to bless him, your loving arms around him, and heal him in his body, strengthen him where he may be weak, Father God. Just help him, Father God, to keep enduring, Father God. And Lord, we just pray for the team by that called in today, Father God. We will bless everyone in the name of Jesus, Father God. And Lord, we bind any distractions to try to come to this broadcast. Hinder the word from going forth in the name of Jesus, Father God. Plead the blood of Jesus over the airways, over those that are listening, those that participate, especially our pastor, Father God. Be with all those who've asked us to pray for them, those who are going through a time of bereavement, Father God. We know you're able to give them a peace of mind, and those that are going through making decisions and want to do the right thing, Father God, be with them and give them the mind to do. Be with those that are sick and shut in, Father God. You said in your word, by your stripes we're healed. And Lord, we're thanking you once again for all your traveling mercies. We're thanking you for your love that you shower down on us, Father God. Now, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to this word today, Father God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Today's lesson, it has two parts. And our foundational scripture for this lesson will be found in Mark 2:12. But we're going to read from Mark 2:1-17. I'm going to read Mark 2:12, and we'll get to one part of this, and then we'll discuss the second part. But the first part, I hope y'all hear me pretty good.
Yes, Pastor. We can hear you, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you so much. The first part is, it reads like this. It says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, never saw it on this fashion. Or one translation said, we never saw anything like this.
Amen, amen. Send a message. Pick up your stretcher and go home. And the man did it. Got up, grabbed his stretcher, and walked out. With everyone there watching him, they rubbed their eyes incredibly and then praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Amen, amen.
Amen. And the first part is about pressing through. You got to press through if you want the blessing.
Amen.
A lot of times, we don't want to press our way. But Paul said, this is a pressing way. Remember over there in Philippians? I'll go there. And then we'll get back into the book of Mark. But in Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the higher price of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. From the Message Bible. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Amen. Well, verse 15, so let's keep focus on the goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. Amen.
He said, I'm pressing toward a mark for the prize of the higher calling. If you're going to reach that mark of the higher calling, the Bible says it's in Christ Jesus. But you got to press toward it.
Yeah.
This is the first part of this lesson. You got to learn to press through some things, brothers and sisters. No, it all's not on a silver platter for you, but you got to press through some things.
Amen.
You may have to cry your way. That's a form of pressing. As in urgency, if you will. As an urgency here. That you got to press. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you're pressing, it's critical. It's critical. That you make it through. Sometimes you just got to press your way.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you're going to the higher calling of the things of God, it is a pressing way. I'll tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this man, and you remember that woman who had gotten healed, she pressed her way through a crowd. And she said, if I could touch but the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. So sometimes healing is in the pressing. Deliverance is in the pressing. Eye-opening stuff is in the pressing. So when this man had gotten here in the book of Mark, that 12th verse, second chapter in that 12th verse, notice what he said. These people, they saw this, and I'll have Pastor to read the whole scripture in a moment. But that 12th verse says, and immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before all, in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we ain't never seen nothing like this. We ain't never seen nothing like this. And we've seen some things, but we ain't never seen nothing like this. See, it's something that I just never seen before. And the writer said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor its seed begging bread. Just never seen it. I've seen people stand in the welfare line, but never forsaken. I've seen people get food stamps and surplus cheese and powdered eggs, but not forsaken. Never seen it. Not God's folks. I've seen people try to deny them of credit, but not forsaken. God fixed it in such a way the same people that refuse to give you the loan gave you the loan. Because you won't be forsaken. Now, you may be cast out, pressed, but you won't be forsaken. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I want you to know you won't be forsaken. But you got to press your way. And people is amazed at when God does things. And in this particular scripture, and we'll start at the very beginning and read probably, let's see, we'll read at least 17 verses. So let's read Mark 2, 1 through 17. Pastor, could you read that for me, please? At the King James. Yeah, can you read that at the King James for me?
Did you say that was Mark 6?
Mark 2.
Mark 2, okay.
Mark 2. 1 through 17.
Okay. 1 through 17. Okay. Reading from the King James. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him, pressed, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them,
Why reason ye these things in your heart? Easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said it to the sick of the palsy. Probably not pronouncing that right. Y'all bear along with me. Praise God. Verse 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude restored unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen.
Amen, amen. You get a chance, brother, to read this story. It's awesome. It's a beautiful story. But if anything stirs me in my life, it is words such as these. We just never saw anything like this. Well, when I think about that, I just never seen nothing like it. That does something to me when somebody say that.
Because
it's like, those are the kind of words that were spoken following the miracle. Those are the words that followed the healing of this paralyzed man. His four friends remove a portion of the roof in order to let down the bed, which this this man with the palsy was lying. And you got to see this. Jesus in Mark 2 and 4. But Jesus healed the man, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out into the city, went out to everybody. Now, if you recall, just earlier, it was so packed. It was so packed.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus couldn't even preach there. People everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
when this man got healed, they had to clear the way. They had to clear the path. He took off into the streets and began to praise God, pressed his way.
Yeah.
And he told them all. The Bible says he pressed his way. And he presented himself to all of them. And it is an ideal thing to get people to believe that when they have asked, they will receive, according to Matthew 21 and 22. When they ask, they will receive. Bible says, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you receive it. Now, what that means is believing is you acting on it, that you receiving it. If that makes sense. That's over there in Mark 20, it's in Matthew's too. In Matthew's 21 and 22. I think it's a beautiful thing that when you believe in, a lot of people think believing is having an idea or thinking it. No, believing is acting on the word of God. And actually believing is, it requires a corresponding action. If you believe it, you're going to respond.
Amen.
You got to know, when you ask, you shall receive, if you believe it, if you act like it. But how mm-hmm. can it be otherwise? It must be so when God says it, we believe it.
All right.
Now, we have this beautiful word that brought before us in this case of this paralyzed man, helpless and so weak that he could not help himself get to Jesus. The Bible says four men. Well, I tell you, it's good to have some friends that want to help you out.
Amen. Amen.
They said, man, Jesus in there. Everybody heard about him. Filled the room, the place where he was. Man said, nah, man. See, you got to see this for what it is. They said, you know what? Man, Jesus can heal this guy. So they act on it. They ripped the roof off. They ripped the roof off. They said, we're going to get you doing. We're going to get you doing. They ripped the roof off. How many friends you got going to rip a roof off for you and let you down so you can get healed?
Come on, man. Say that.
Yeah. But these four men whose hearts were full of compassion carried the man to the house. But the house was so full. Oh, I can see that the house today as it was filled. Listen, I'm talking about jam-packed. Like when you do one of them parties. Y'all ever went to one of them house parties? Too many of y'all religious up in here. But for those that keep the real from me for a minute, for those that keep you know, we used to go to jam session. And like, you go to the after hour. You know, you had two parties. But that after hour, it stayed jam. I mean, it was so jammed up you couldn't get up in there. Well, when I visualize this, that's how I see this. I see these people just jammed up. But something, and I want y'all to understand that something about this just really... It was just such a miracle all around. Just something about this just really just throws me. Because I know God got people who cares about other folks.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? Man, we ain't never seen nothing like this. When they got here, when I think about people helping people, sometimes people go to the extent. And then some people only care about themselves. But they were concerned about somebody else.
So
we never seen anything like this.
Amen.
The Bible says he opened up the storehouse of the Most High. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what Ephesians 3 and 8 says. To us, God wants to move us into this divine position so that we can complete the new creation. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know that? The flesh profit nothing, John 6:63. He said, the words I say, they are spirit, in their life. So Paul says in the book of Romans that the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, nor indeed can be. Romans 8:7. As we see, to live in the old life, to know the resurrection, the power of the Lord, and to that place, we enter into a place of rest, faith, joy, peace, blessing, and life eternally. But I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, you have to press your way to that place. It ain't easy, but there is such a place as peace. It may not be at your house, but it's available. There is such a place as faith, and there is such a place as joy. And there is such a place as eternal peace, God's blessing, everlasting life. Glory to God. We'll come to that place where if anybody have anything you want to share, take the time to do that. Just press one. We'll let you in.
Amen. So, Pastor, I was looking at Mark 2:11-12 in the New Living Translation, and it reads, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out to the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, 'We've never seen anything like this.'" So they was all amazed that the man was healing. And what I found interesting is that 17th verse, Jesus was letting them know. It says, "When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, 'They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So from the New Living, it says, "When Jesus heard this, he told them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners.'" Amen.
Amen.
That
Amen. There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing that out, Pastor.
You're welcome, Pastor.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
They didn't know what was going on.
No. They did not.
See, when you read verse 6, see, this is how religious people think. Because, see, they didn't see faith in Jesus. You got two kind of people. You got the kind of people that sees faith in the Lord, and you got those that sees faith in man, or see it man's way, or see it through tradition. But in the Messenger Bible, and I'm going to be done, I think it's in the Messenger Bible, it might have been the Living Bible, one of them scriptures I was reading, I want to say it was in the New Living, that's probably where it was at. But that sixth verse, I know what it's saying. Maybe it says the same thing over in the Messenger Bible. But I was in the New Living Bible, and it said something that made a lot of sense to me. It said, "But some of the teachers or religious laws were sitting there, thought to themselves, 'What is he saying? This is blasphemous.'" Only God can forgive sins.
Have mercy.
Now, I want to say this to those that may not know it. You have the power to go by and of sin right now. So, religious people look at you and say, oh, you can't do that. That's blasphemy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have the power to forgive sin right now. Because you are an ambassador for Christ. Read 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are an ambassador. You represent the kingdom of God. So whatever you say, God will back it up. See, that's what an ambassador does. If an ambassador go to Russia and promise Russia, like Ukraine, for instance, we went to Ukraine and we promised them 21 planes. Well, America got to bag that up because that's what the ambassador has the power to do, the whole country. So you being an ambassador, you got all of the kingdom of God behind you. So if you lay hands on the sick, the Bible said they shall recover.
Hallelujah.
But you got to lay hands on
them.
You got to lay your hands on them. And they shall recover.
Amen.
See, so when you get to dealing with religious people, excuse me, I always like to say church folk, because some religious scholars and sitting, they think they got it all and they know the whole plan and yada, yada, yada. And then they don't realize that God has given them the power that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. See, so when you take that serious, then it's, oh, man, that's blasphemy. You can't do that. You can't be binding that sin up in that person.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding the connection there. But like I said, it's a pressing way to get to where God wants us there. Okay?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anyone else?
Praise God. Amen.
Well, we do thank each and every one of you.